Good morning. The peace of God be with you all. Please rise as we pray together. Truly dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And truly yours we are, O God, and to you we shall return. Help this to be a time of turning round and beginning again. Through these 40 days of Lent, help us to follow you and to be found by you. In the discipline of praying, in the drudgery of caring, in whatever we deny ourselves and whatever we set ourselves to learn or do, help us by your grace to discover you in our loneliness and in community, in our emptiness and our fulfillment, in our sadness and our laughter. Help us when we ourselves are lost. Help us to follow you on the journey to Jerusalem, to the waving palms of the people's hope, to their rejection, to the cross and empty tomb. Help us to perceive new growth amid the ashes of the old. Help us, carrying your cross, to be witnesses to you. In Jesus we pray. Our opening hymn is number 556 in your red hymnal, hymn number 556. Please remain standing.
A reading from Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I believe I shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for God. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for God. Here ends our reading. Last week, I was having lunch in the marketplace with a student. While I don't remember what I ate that day, I do remember the conversation. Unsurprisingly, the topic of theology came up. More specifically, we were discussing a shared distaste for theological platitudes, or things people commonly say about God that are problematic if you really think them through. Under the hashtag of bad theology, we nominated God never gives you more than you can handle. Because that implies that everything that happens to you, however good or terribly tragic, happens because God caused it to happen. Truth be told, if I could marginalize one idea that dominates popular versions of Christian theology, it would be the notion that God acts unilaterally and alone. I encounter this kind of thinking almost every week, and it almost always creates problems. You've probably heard things like this too. God sent that hurricane to punish those liberals and feminists and gay people. The Bible is the infallible word of God. This is God's world. I am so grateful for everything that God has given me. God has blessed me with a wonderful family. Children are a gift from God. God gave me a vision, and so on. Now, with some thoughtful examination of these statements, it is easy to root out the God acts alone assumption behind each one of them. Now, fortunately, many have come to realize the absurdity of statements that suggest that God sends natural disasters to punish certain groups of people or to get the attention of other groups. While a minority of religious and political leaders still make these kinds of outlandish claims, the large majority of people, I think, recognize the complex nature of disasters that occur as the result of large-scale geological or meteorological events. God may be in the wind, but God isn't controlling the wind. However, some of the other examples I've mentioned, people are not as discerning. It is common, for example, to hear people refer to the Bible as the infallible word of God. Most people, when they make this claim, still mean on some level that the words in the Bible are God's actual words. God said them, and people merely wrote them down without any interference or error or additional contribution. The idea here is that God is the source of the action, the creation of the Bible, and that people had nothing of significance to contribute. The same can be said about people's attitudes toward the natural world. God creates the world, and therefore the world is God's. People, plants, animals, cells, electrons, and bacteria don't really contribute anything of significance to the Earth's development. God thinks it all up, God designs it, and God creates it through God's own action. On the level of household economics, this plays out in an even stranger way. When people say that they are so grateful for everything that God has given them, they are attributing in some way original ownership of everything to God and are also claiming that God decided to give them their money and their stuff. In this scenario, God is both the original creator of everything and the chief distributor of everything. If someone has a large house, expensive cars, lots of clothes, plush bank accounts, and a good job, it is because God chose to give them those things. But logically, if one believes this, one must also agree with the notion that people who don't have those things don't have them because God chose not to give them to them. Now, people say this about their money and their stuff, but they also say it about the people in their lives. When someone says that God has blessed them with a wonderful family, in some ways they're implying that it was God's choice and action that caused them to be born into a family with, let's say, loving parents, pets, siblings, aunts, grandparents, uncles, playful cousins, and the rest. However, what does this mean for the homeless teenager who fled an abusive family? Now, this family theme goes even further when people say that children are a gift from God. Now, this seemingly sweet and sentimental statement also suggests that God decided what babies will be born, that God makes the babies, and that the children arrive in the arms of the parents who God has chosen for them. The act of creating life again is attributed in some ways solely to God. And the women and men involved are incidental vessels of the action that is actually God's alone. In this way of thinking, though, one must also agree to the notion that couples who are infertile can't have children because God doesn't want to give them children. Most recently, I have seen how this way of thinking can stall leaders who are trying to lead their communities into a new future. I listened to pastor colleagues who struggle to determine whether the vision they see for the church they serve is their vision or God's vision. And the implication there is that it's always an either-or situation. Either the vision is coming from God, or it is coming from themselves, and they are inherently egotistical and wrong-headed, and therefore that vision is not to be trusted. In this binary way of thinking, a vision for the future can only be good if it comes purely from God without any human contribution. Now, all of these statements I have examined above have a God acts alone assumption embedded within them. I believe it is time to root out that assumption and expose the problems with this way of thinking about how God is in relationship. We will be in a more honest place if we acknowledge that the folly of believing in God's unilateral action is in causing natural disasters also applies to all the rest of these situations. God didn't act alone in the determination of the words in the Bible. God doesn't act alone in the creation and evolution of the universe. God doesn't act alone in determining who has what money or houses or stuff. God doesn't act alone in putting together families. God doesn't act alone in the creation of babies. And God doesn't act alone in envisioning the church's future. So in order to embrace a more complex and nuanced understanding of the multiple causes of any given situation or event, we need to get over an even more fundamental set of theological assumptions: that God is good, and humans are bad. God's actions are good, and human actions are bad. God is powerful, and people are mere vessels for God's good action. God creates good things, and people create bad things or nothing of value. Please, enough, right? We are not only bad. We are not simply empty vessels for God's action. We have both the capacity to do good and to do evil. But we do have something amazing to contribute to God, to our world, to our family, to our communities, and to our neighbors. We have compassionate hearts and creative minds. We have powerful bodies and loving hands. And the same is true of the earth itself. The trees and the creatures, the wind and the rains, all contribute to the ongoing evolution of the natural world and all of its intertwining ecosystems. All of this became abundantly clear to me when I became a mother. No one is going to tell me that I didn't contribute any power, any life energy, any genetic material, any love, any spirit, any creative action to the bringing forth of my two children, Zella and Elo. To say that children are gifts from God oversimplifies the true story. Zella didn't just fall out of the sky, although that certainly would have been a lot easier on me. And God wasn't alone in creating Elo, or you, or me. If our lives were solely the result of God's action, we actually wouldn't exist at all. I contributed something hugely significant to my children's lives, and so did my husband, and we still do. And God is also a part of it, somehow. The mystery and the beauty of life in this world is that God is present, contributing love and guidance and novelty, and that the world and all that is in it is also generative, creative, and powerful. And it is this combination of God's power and the world's power that makes everything happen. And so today, I invite you to examine your own theological assumptions, What do you believe about God? Does what you say about God actually match up with what you believe? And what questions would you like to explore and discuss? This is the work of being theologians, work that we are all called to do together in community. So I invite you today to join in this conversation that has been going on for thousands of years, and to proclaim, as the psalmist encourages us, we believe that we shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for God, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Amen.
I invite you to rise. We will sing hymn number 687, stanza 1, 2, and 3. Hymn number 687 in the red hymnal, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Merciful God, dust we are, and to dust we shall return. In Jesus, you share our human frailty. You enter into our mortality in all its mystery to redeem this handful of dust. We are yours, O God, and to you we shall return. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve. Thanks be to God.